I want to thank all of you for being here today, in spite of knowing most of you knew that I was going to speak. I'm certainly appreciative of my family. You see, I'm not here. All the good-looking ones over here, that's part of our family. But it's not on the Chandler side, it's on the Davis side, I'm afraid. So. But I appreciate them coming. They're just a good group of people, and I've been a part of that family for about 64 years. I kind of advertised this as about a month ago with Robert as my farewell sermon. I've been thinking about it. Maybe I shouldn't be a farewell sermon. I might have one more. I might have one more. You know, there are certain words or phrases found within the English language that thrills the hearts of mankind. You know how my heart thrills when every so often Shirley look at me and say, "You old gray-headed man, I love you." It makes me proud. So husbands, tell your wives you love them, and wives, every now and then tell your husband that you love them. It means a whole lot. Now, words like a peace and love and joy, words like mother and freedom and hope, causes all of us to feel better. But the word that I want us to look at today is the word glorious. In preparing this lesson, I wanted to know what glorious meant. And I looked at a couple of different places. And one of the definitions says, glorious is simply worthy of being bringing fame or admiration. Another one says, having a striking beauty or splendor that invokes feelings of delightful admiration. I think both of those definitions would apply to what I want to talk about for a few moments this morning. I want to talk about the hope for a glorious future. I know the future is out there for all of us. Some of our days are shorter than others. Brother Richard Gibson has gone to his reward. Brother Ed Webb is suffering right now. And he'll be joining the redeemed for very shortly. Glorious future. If we lift up our eyes and see Jesus, and he says to me and he says to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord." That's the hope I have. And it brings joy. The glorious future. But today I want to talk about a little bit about the Tanner Church of Christ. And the hope that I have for a glorious future for this congregation. With the definitions in mind that I gave, I would say that this congregation could be glorious because it has a number of things going for it. But first of all, I want to talk about the church universal. That is the Church of Christ that meets in India today, and the Church of Christ that meets in Shiloh, and over at Mount Carmel and at Madison. I mentioned those names because that's where my family's from. We want to look at that and see why this glorious church, the congregations that meet all over this world, the congregations of the Church of Christ, blood-bought, spirit-filled, and glory-bound, a glorious future, the hope for a glorious future. It is glorious because, first of all, it has a glorious origin. This is so because Jesus, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 27, that Jesus loved the church and he gave himself for it. In verse 25 of Ephesians 5, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." And Paul, speaking to the elders of the church of the Lord in Miletus, he said, you know, you feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Peter brings it home to me and to you in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. You weren't redeemed by silver or gold or things of this nature, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has a origin that is glorious indeed. The wonderful and majestic Church of Christ. It's glorious because it has a relationship to deity. It has a relationship to the Godhead. His head is a body. Christ saves the body and he defends the body. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is glorious because it has a glorious mission. And Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, gave the great commission to his apostles, saying to go into all the nations and you make disciples of all men, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I've commanded you. And I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. It's glorious because of the mission that we as Christians have to a lost and a dying world. The church universal is glorious because it has unity. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, in Christ there's all spiritual blessings. You turn to the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians and you read the first six verses, and it talks about the unity, the one Lord, the one faith, the one baptism, the one body, the one hope that we have. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is glorious because of the unity that exists between those who love the Lord and are called into his purpose. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that the Lord prayed for with his disciples. And when he said that those who believe on their word. Wasn't too long ago I heard David Hall. Some of you might know David Hall preach a sermon. And he preached that when Jesus Christ prayed for me. Look at chapter 17 of the book of John again. I pray for those who believe on me through their word. I believe today because of the Apostle Peter. I believe today because of the Apostle John. I believe today because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I want to pray for those that they might be united in the one faith, the one hope, the one baptism, the one body. That's what he prayed for me, for Richard Chandler, for Robert Hall and Roger Davis and all of you. That's what he prayed for, that we might be one. Man, think the blessing that we have because Jesus prayed for me. Little old me. Oh, flesh and blood me. Weak and undone. A sinner. He prayed for me. And so the church is glorious because of the unity. And the church is glorious because it has a glorious future. The reason for this is the church awaits its final redemption. You read in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27 that he's going to present the church to the Father without spot and without blemish. The church is headed for a glorious, glorious finish, a glorious future, because Jesus is going to present us up on that last and final day. So the church universal is glorious. The church throughout this world where people meet to worship God is glorious. As Burton Kaufman said in his work on the Lord's Supper, that he believed over 100,000 consecutive Sundays that somewhere in this world members of the body of Christ have met to observe the Lord's Supper. The church is headed for a glorious future. But I want us to look at the Tanner Church for a few moments. What about our congregation? It's been here for over 100 years. We owe a debt of gratitude to those who once warmed the pews of this building. Those whose names would pop into my head that I will not call out because I leave somebody out. Those who have fought the good fight. Those who have fought the battles. those who have had those who followed them because they taught them the gospel of Jesus Christ. This congregation has thrived for over 100 years because of the love and the dedication of so many of you. But what about the future? What does it hold for us? The story is told about two little boys whose mother asked them to go out into the hen house and run the chicken snake out. And the little boys went out and they searched the hen house over and they couldn't find it. So finally they crawled up and looked in the top shelving nest. And they've come face to face with that big chicken snake. They jumped down, fell over each other, and come running into the house. And the mother said, "Boys, don't you know that a chicken snake won't hurt you?" You know, the boy said, "You know, there are some things that scare you so bad you'll hurt yourself." I want to know how you feel when you look at the future of this congregation. There should be two ways. And just one of them is really acceptable, as far as I'm concerned. As elders of this congregation, Robert and Henry, what do you see in the next 100 years for this congregation? Deacons of this congregation, what do you see in the next 100 years of this congregation? Members of the church who grace these pews each Lord's Day, what do you see in the future of the Tanner Church of Christ? Is it fear? Are you afraid of what you're seeing? Will it make you hurt yourself, as the little boy said? Or is it hope? Do you see hope? And I can assure you what you see depends upon about four or five different things, much of which you control and I control. First of all, ask yourself these questions in regard to this congregation. And maybe those of you who are visiting from other congregations, ask yourself this question too. Because I know that Mount Carmel and Madison and Shiloh hopes for a glorious future. The first question is, if everyone attended the services of Tanner Church of Christ as I do, what is the hope for the future? That's tough. You know, that's tough. But look into the recesses of your heart, and what is the answer to the question? If everyone reached down in their pocketbook and gave as I give to this congregation, what would be the future? The Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians 16:1, every one of you, I think the King James Version says, New King James says, let each one of you, kind of nails it down when it comes to our giving for the work of the church, does it not? What do you see the future of this congregation when you answer that question in your heart? What if everyone worked within this congregation as I do? Would the work be done? Will it last another 100 years? You know, in Titus chapter 2 and in verse 4, I believe the Bible talks about we're to be zealous of good works. Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse chapter 2 and verse 10, Paul says we're created unto good works. That's a part of our Christian walk, is being zealous of good works, of working for the Lord, building up His name and His church, making the place in which we live a better place, a better community, a better state, a better country, a better world. Engaged in good works, zealous of good works. So if you look at these four things that I suggested, how we attend and how we give and how we work and how we work to build up this congregation, what's the answer for a glorious future? What lies ahead for this congregation? Well, I'm not a prophet, neither am I a son of a prophet. I don't think my dad was a prophet. Well, he was in one respect, because he always said that when he went someplace in his car, he was going to have a flat, and he always did. So I guess that he is a prophet in that respect. But I believe I can make some predictions on of this congregation based, you know, on some facts, some things, if they come to pass. You see, it's kind of a glorious future, but it's upon me. I gotta do my part to make this church glorious, have a glorious future. And see, the choice, of course, belongs to each one of us. The choice is mine. The choice is yours. And if you don't believe congregations of the Lord's church can die, just spend a little time in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 3. In chapter 3, 2 and 3. There are seven churches listed there. All but one, there was something found against them. The church of Smyrna being the only one. One was accused of leaving its first love. One was guilty of allowing a woman to lead them astray. One was guilty of holding on to false doctrines, things that are not found in God's word. The church at Sardis said they had a name that you live, but you're dead. Laodicea said, "You're lukewarm, and I will vomit you out of my mouth." As far as I know, they're not congregations in those places anymore. So if you think it can't happen to a congregation of the Lord's church, you need to think again and study. Study what the Bible has to say. If you want this congregation to have a glorious future, we must take the bull by the horns, Henry. We must fight the good fight. Success is not that which comes, you know, accidentally. If you're successful in business, you had to work at it, didn't you, Gene? You had to put time in it. If this congregation is to have a glorious future, it has some time to be spent. It has to take effort on our parts. You know, it's going when we don't feel like going. It's doing when we don't feel like doing. It's going the second mile and being pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. See, success comes as a result of effort. And if you work for the Lord Jesus Christ, don't think that the Lord doesn't notice that. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So a glorious future for this congregation lies ahead if we do a couple of things. The hope of the world is not in the words of man's wisdom, but in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what do we got to do, Henry? We got to preach the gospel. The power of God's salvation lies in the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation, the Apostle Paul says. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17 that Paul was sent to preach the gospel because he knew the gospel would save people. People who obey the gospel, they will indeed be saved. It was the preaching of the gospel in the first century that saved men, and it would do the same for us today. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of Almighty God." And God is able to save to the uttermost. We just have to believe and practice our faith. This congregation has a glorious future if we as a congregation will stand for what God stands for and be against what God is against. If we will stand for what God wants us to do, we will indeed be successful. The works of the list of the works of the flesh and the spirit in Galatians chapter 5 verses 19-23 tells us what we need to abstain from, that which we need to be involved in. May we have the courage and the conviction all the days of our life to be found doing the will of the Father. You know, it's past time that we hate what God hates. I read in Psalm chapter 97 and verse 10, "Ye who have you love the Lord, hate evil. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked." In Amos chapter 5 and verse 14, the scripture says, "Seek good and not evil, that you may live. So the Lord God of hosts will be with you. And then you look at scriptures like Psalm chapter 5 in verses 5 and 6 and see how God feels about sin and sinners in the world. Look at Psalm chapter 11 in verse 5, and he expressed the David, the sweet psalmist of God, expressed it again. He hates. And it's about time that we hate that which is detrimental to the growth of the Lord's church. You know, we need to listen to what God has to say and less of what man has to say. We listen to TV and we take the advice of Dr. Phil and Oprah and Ellen and others. We need to be turning to the book and see what Jesus says about it, what God says about it. Not some celebrity who has gained fame through many, many things that are sinful in the sight of Almighty God. And if we'll hold to that which is good and hold fast, this congregation will have a glorious future. The next 100 years, indeed, will be glorious. We're living in a time much like the one described in a couple of Old Testament passages. You know, Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, that the people of God were being destroyed for lack of knowledge. And he went ahead to say, you reject knowledge, God's going to reject you. We're told in Amos chapter 11 that there was a famine for the word. The famine that he prophesied here was God imposed. But there is a famine of the word in the world today, in the United States of America today. And it's not God imposed. We have a Bible. We can study it. But it's man imposed. When have you spent some time just reading the text of the Bible, getting a feel of what the Bible is all about? I got a lot of things I need to thank Robert Hall for. He got me started on a thing about 3 years ago. And my wife will tell you that I can't lay down to read it and do it. Thank you. This is the attitude we need. Study. Don't be ignorant of what the Bible says. God hates every evil way. And we have to overcome that if this church is to have a glorious future. So we need to be readers and studiers of the book, not just to listen to it, not just hearers only, but do the work of the Lord in James chapter 1 and verse 22. Ezra admonished the people there in chapter 7, I believe it is, to seek the word of the Lord and do it. That'd be the message from this pulpit. Seek the word of the Lord and do it. That'd be the message from our elders. Seek the word and do it. The deacons, the members, seek the word and do it. Do it. And you'll be blessed in your deeds. You know, Jesus spoke about the work that he was sent to do. Now, someone once said the word work is a four-letter word, but it's not a dirty word, you know. We work. We have to work. You want success in the church, you have to work. If you want this church to last another 100 years and have a glorious future, you must work. Richard Chandler, you must work. You must be like Jesus. He said, I got to work the works of him that sent me. Why? Because the night is coming. And Jesus wasn't talking about the going down of the sun. He was talking about he was going to have to die. A lesson I preached here sometime back on autumn leaves. When the autumn leaves tells us that winter is coming. Jesus saw the autumn leaves. He knew the time was coming. He was going to depart from this world. And he had a job to do. The time is coming that I must leave this world. And I got a job to do. And I need to do it with all of my mind. Paul teaches us in order to walk worthy, we must be fruitful in our work. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, he said that you might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being faithful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 connects, of course, the grace of God and the works of men. We have to remember that. I know that we can't all do the same, but we can do something. And I believe it's in Hebrews chapter 12 where the writer talks about our reasonable service. Or is that in Romans chapter 12, Robert? But anyhow, he talks about Romans chapter 12, verse 1. A reasonable service, our bodies are living sacrifice, which is a reasonable service. See, God is a reasonable service. He's a reasonable God, and he'll accept our reasonable service. Right? That's what he says. What is reasonable? What is a reasonable service? God accepts that. But you know, I like to read the words of Solomon in chapter 9 of Ecclesiastes, verse 10. He said, whatever your hands find to do, how to do it? All your might. That means putting everything into it. Whatever your hands find to do. Don't be slack in it. And this congregation will have a glorious future as I close this lesson. If we reach out to the lost of this community and of the world. We're engaged in several mission fields. Gene Miller over here is an elder of the Shiloh Church, which is one of the sponsoring congregations of the India work with Ron Clayton and Robert Hall, and we're very happy to be involved in that. And this congregation will have a glorious future. We're just engaged in the work of the Lord. We need to be concerned here, you know, right here in Jerusalem and gathering, you know, going out to the other parts of the world. Our first responsibility is to preach the gospel here, from this pulpit, in living rooms, printed page, radio, TV, any way that God has given us to spread the gospel. And we'll have a glorious future if we, you know, if we do that. Study the parable of the talents. Had a man one time, I believe it was over at Gurley, told me, I'm just a one-talented man and I just can't do much. You know what I told him? Don't apologize, use it. You don't have to apologize for it. If that's what God gave you, rejoice in it and use it. This church will have a glorious future, this congregation, if we do the things that I talked about. You know, much like families who have no sons to pass on, you know, the name, congregations often have no sons to pass on the name of the Lord. I read this not too many days ago in Genesis chapter 30 and verse 1. Rachel said to Jacob, give me children or else I die. Tanner Church is saying, give me children or you'll die. If God tarries his coming for 100 years, my prayer is that this church will have a glorious future. And it will. If you work. You're here today, you're subject to the invitation of our Lord. And the song is sung for your encouragement. Give me your hand, give God your heart as we stand and sing.